Beloved congregation, we have heard this evening by the reading of Isaiah 61 that the foundation of the church is late in eternity, before that the Lord had created the world, before that there was one angel, one man, then there was already in the heart of the Father and desire to glorify himself in all his attributes. He opening, he said in one of his sermons, that there was no necessity by God and also by the Father to do one step outside of himself on account that the Lord is glorified in himself from all eternity, but it was his eternal will, it was in his good pleasure that he would reveal himself, and that wonder above all wonders, through the depth of the fall of Adam. Because Adam was created after the image of God, the Lord made with that man in paradise the covenant of works, that it was in his hand to establish himself in the state in which the Lord had placed him. But it was with Adam the same as with the devil. No more satisfied with the place that God had given them. He was disobedient. He broke that tie that the Lord had laid between him and Adam, and then he joined with the devil, and he cast ourselves in a pit so deep that really, congregation, that we have no words ever to explain it. And that pit that become for us deeper and deeper after that the Lord uncovered us with his Holy Spirit. There was only one that have lifted through. There was only one that came to the depth of the fall of Adam, and that was Christ. When he came to that depth, then of course he declared in Matthew 26, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. And now in the Council of Peace, where the Father represented the three persons, and where the Son represented all God's elect, there came an agreement, first of all, to glorify all the attributes of God, and in the second place, to save a sinner. The righteousness of God in the foreground, but also the wisdom of God revealed in the work of redemption. And now in Isaiah 61, there Christ declares, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to make a short congregation. 'Tis only the Spirit that can make us meek. Only the Spirit. We can lay ourselves on the floor, but we have to rise up again. If the Lord bring us there, then it is a different story. And then there happens something. Then the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. And that anointing that was from eternity, to preach good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings to those that in their life expected nothing else than to go to hell. And for that people is the gospel, the good tidings and the glad tidings. The people that can expect nothing, than that the Lord cut them off. And that the Lord said is all done between us. But for them it is, the gospel is a good tidings. But of course, there is much connected with the congregation. We first have to know the depth of our fall in Adam. And we have also to place before the Holy Law, and that law that have to cut us off. And when the Lord cut us off, cursed is everyone that is not doing the works of the law. Then Christ come with the gospel, and then it is a good tidings for the meek. And at God's time, then the Lord gives solution to that people. I will, with the help of the Lord this evening, say something about that. And my text that is in the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Thus far. I will speak to you, Wiles, about the anointment of the anointed, which be performed, which be defensed, and which be preached. That are the three thoughts. Few days before Christ gave himself over in the hand of his enemies, then he came to Bethany. That was a little village close to Jerusalem. That was for Christ always as an Elim in the desert. And why? You know, we read in John 1, verse 11, that Christ came to his own nation, but they did not believe in him and accepted him. We read in John 7, verse 4, that even his own brothers, his own relatives, that they did not believe in him. Enmity, that was all that they show unto Christ, enmity. And why? Oh, they were the children of Abraham. And they had their foundation in the works of the law. And I will not say it in a different way, I hope, that all of you can follow it. But all that people that did not believe in him and that had no respect for him and no love for him, for the Christ, they were more or less all satisfied with himself. That was all people without sin. You would say, that isn't talking. I don't know. Everyone in the world and in the church especially that know that they are sinners. And you are saying here in this evening that the people that did not believe in him and no respect for him and no love for him, that they were all people without sin. Can I prove that with the Bible? Oh, yes. Yes. And with practice life too. With the Bible in the first place, you find that in John 16. And what do you read in that John 16? Christ promised that the coming of the Holy Spirit. And you read in John 6, verse 63, that the Spirit makes alive. This congregation, without the irresistible working of the Holy Spirit, we are without spiritual life, death in trespasses and sin. sin. But Christ goes on there in that chapter, and then he said, when that Spirit comes, he shall reprove, he shall convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Thus, after that a sinner is made alive, then the Lord convinced him that he is a sinner. And then there come a time in our life, congregation, that we come to the realization that it is not this and that it is not that, but that we are nothing else than sin. Nothing else. And then the righteousness of God that come on the foreground. And that righteousness of God that had to cut us up. And then that judgment that is then placing before us, placed before us. And then it said by Ezekiel 18, the soul that hath sinned, that shall die. Thus, it is clear enough, people, that this the beginning of the work of the Lord. You find that back also by Jeremiah 3, verse 14. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that I have sinned against thee. And Christ came with what purpose? So said the word of God about it. That he came not only to save, but first of all, then the Lord said in his word that he came to seek and to save sins. To seek and to save. And we are all congregation, I as well as you, we are so far from the Lord, that distance that is greater than the east from the west and the north from the south. And if the Lord come in our life, what happens then? What happens? That I go to heaven? No. But that I have to go to hell. That's there to start with. In our days, they hear nothing else than belief and accept Christ. But they deceive their soul for eternity. Nothing else. Because I know well out of the Bible that there is in Christ. But to know it here. And that is a different story. Christ, he said to Peter in Matthew 16, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And out there in that Bethany, so far as we know, I emphasize that now, so far as we know, there were four converted people in that place. Four. In one house there were three. Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And then in that other house there was a Simon the leper. He was a leper outwardly and inwardly, by nature. But the Lord had cured him by his almighty power and by his divine grace. And now Christ was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. That was something that man invited Christ in his house. Because some time ago already, then that Sanhedrin that had declared that everybody that could give information where Christ was, they had to bring that information to the Sanhedrin, and then they could come and caught Christ and kill him. Thus it was very dangerous for that Simon the leper that he invited in his house Christ. But he had done it. And why had he done it? Why? Because it was in the heart of that man. What shall I render the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? And it was also in the heart of that man, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire, beside thee. That was the reason that man asked Christ in his house. That man that was so blessed by the Lord, that the whole world had no value for him. The only one to whom his heart goes out, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. His heart that was burning of love towards him. Same as it was with that Peter. That man, he could also not live here in the world without Christ. Therefore he said to Christ, I shall die with thee. He would say, Christ, if you would die, if you have to die, then my life that have no more value. So was that Peter living a life of love with Christ. What a very great blessing, congregation. But now, while Christ was in the house of that Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman. How is that now possible that you read that in that text? There came unto him a woman. Can we come to Christ? Yes. That means when Christ first in his life come to me. That is the first thing. And then you read in Psalm 110 that the Lord, that he had a willing people in the day of his power. And then it is to the gladness of their heart that the Lord is drawn them with cords of love. That Mary, that is the same one that was once sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, You know that Martha that was in the kitchen, she would make the best meal that there was in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. She had bought in the stores the best vegetables that there were, and the best meat that there was by the butcher. She would do everything for the Lord Jesus. The Lord is himself, he said, that he loved her. This, that is enough for us to know what kind of woman it was. But what was now the difference between Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? They all were converted. What was now the difference? You know it? Martha was in the workhouse. She was not living under the law. Mary, she was sitting at the feet of Christ. She had nothing to offer Christ, no. Empty hands. And if you ask me further, what was now the life of that woman? The same as we sing in one of our songs, in 325. Teach me, O Lord, the way of truth, and from it I will not depart. That was now a woman. She did not know how to be comforted. Can be in our life that we think I know something. But the further that we come on the way to heaven, the more that we find out that we know nothing. And that we have to be instructed. That we have to be taught by the Lord. I talk, and I can talk this evening, to all those amongst us that have spiritual life in their hearts, and that know something of the ways of the Lord for himself, that people that come more and more underneath, and then they say, when they are in secret places, then they say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Be my teacher. Be my guide. From step to step and from moment to moment. I have said that maybe many times in your midst. And yeah, I know. There is no still of here nor in the east, no people that will hear every time the same thing. Paul had a sermon once in Acts 13 by Sergius Paul, and when the church goes out and the heathens that came to him, and they said, Paul, please, the next Sabbath day, please, the same sermon. But I tell you many times, people, that when the Lord comforts us, that we are coming, standing in the world as a person that don't know. And then they say, Lord, that it may please thee to instruct me in the way of salvation. And then there is for that people no better place as the place of Mary at the feet of Christ. David, he said in Psalm 25, my eyes Er kan tien jullie op aan de lof. Wie bekam moor en moor ik naar. Moor en moor. I have read in one of the works of Ledeboer that every morning, sometimes with his mind and then with his heart, but it was his custom every morning in his life to sing the same psalm every morning. 25. Teach me the way of truth. And that man, the last day of his life in the morning, he died in the afternoon. But in the morning, then still he sung the same psalm. Before that he died. Just few hours before that, that man entered into heaven. Then he asked for the same thing. You are jealous to that? And if you know something of the work of the Lord about your own heart, oh, then you can shake hands with me. And you shall say, I never have found out what a dumb, what an ignorant person I am. And what a joy in the heart when it happens that the Lord instructs them and that the Lord taught them. That Mary that came in that house and she has something with her. Maybe there's people here this evening that will say, I thought that if you come to Christ, that you have to come with nothing. Because you told us that yesterday evening, for the Lord's Supper. All that we have in our hands, that is too much. We have to buy without money, and without price. Isaiah 5:55. And now here that woman that comes, with an alabaster box of very precious oil. I think, yeah, that's my thoughts. I think that that woman had spent for that box all that she had in the world. The Sanhedrin, they offered Judas 30 pieces of silver, 30. And this woman that had bought an alabaster box of very precious oil, there was for that woman nothing too much. She would spend everything that she had. Why? Because in the first place, the Lord himself had loved that woman with an everlasting love. And if that is poured out in our heart, people, then there is a desire in our heart to give that Christ everything. We have nothing, but we vouchsafe him everything what we can do. The Lord, he take the heart of his people, and then the people that is willing to give their heart unto him. In Psalm 116, David, he said, I love the Lord, because he had heard my crying and my supplication. And in Psalm 18, then he said, I love the Lord, but there is a word involved there that refers to the strongest love that there ever can be. And I shall try to explain it, people, again. If that person in our midst that knows something of spiritual life and that knows something of Christ for their own heart, then there are moments in their life when they have a need in their soul to confess that before the Lord. There come a time in their life, people, that there is not one in the world whom they love as the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime by the reading of the Song of Solomon, all that he said, he is altogether lovely. That it breaks their heart in pieces. And then when their heart is broken down, if that now has happened when they are out about the table in their house by reading the Bible, that it is at such a power in their heart, what do they desire? Then the desire of their heart, that is, that they were now as alone in a room and that they could cry their hearts out on account of that love that they have in their heart for him. That is, of course, all the work of the Lord. And then there is of something else involved. There are moments and times, people, that the people walk through this world with a chain upon their neck, condemning themselves and violence. That they say, oh Lord, I think there is not one man in Passaic, of in Clifton, of in Franklin Lake, of in the whole country of the United States, who is so lovely as that I am. What must my heart burn of love, if I may believe as a while, and sometime that the Lord had looked upon. If there are moments in my life that I am realized that I cannot deny that the Lord had looked upon me, and that there were moments that I lay before him in the dust, and that he instructed me in the way of salvation, but must I before the Lord? I must love him, and now it is so cold, and it seems it is so dead. And then they say inside, oh, it shall well be a wonder if the Lord ever come back in my life, and if he know us ever would break my heart, if he know us ever come as one tear in my eye. Really? So go, so go, so down that come in our life. And still, that is a distinction between that people and a hypocrite. That is still a difference between a poor child of God and a hypocrite. Because an hypocrite is always boasting upon what he possessed. That means that he meant to possess. But God's poor people, that is complaining of what there is lacking in their heart. And then for deaf people, there's always their own fault. There's not the neighbor. And it is not her husband, and it is not her wife, and it is not her children, but themselves. Or not. I gave you freedom this evening. If it is different, you can talk up. You can speak up. You can speak up. But if there is some amongst me that have sometime a tear in their eyes after weeks and months. After weeks and months that they are so loveless inside. There's a sign that you have love. That is a sign that you have love. And if I ask you what is the desire of your heart, oh, then they say that the Lord has come back to me. And that I can come back to him. And that he again, as he had done in former days, that he will embrace me. And that he will kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And if that now was laid on this side, and the whole world on this side, but they do choose then this side. Lady Bury said, for one kiss of Jesus' mouth, I gave all the background. And that is because there is life, spiritual life is in the heart. And now that woman that came there, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And why? Christ hath instructed her in the necessity of his death and resurrection. The disciples, they know nothing about it. No. When Christ entered with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, then those disciples, they were all quiet. You read a match in the same chapter about that Christ and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then those disciples, they looked to that Christ and they didn't know anything what the meaning was of. Were that a real comfort, Peter? Were they now really people that feared the Lord? Yes. That was people that had knowledge of Christ as the Son of the living God. But they have no insight in his mediatorial work. That was all hidden and concealed for them. Congregation, we know only so much about Christ and his mediatorial work as it pleased the Lord to reveal it personal in our hearts. So far. And oh, Father, that is the reason I think there is some amongst me that is sometime in a great fear for himself. That is thinking that the whole religion is only in the head and not in the heart. You're always afraid of that. Well, is afraid that it is only in your head and not in your heart. The Lord said in his speaks in his word about people that is enlightened that had tasted the sweetness of the word of God and still outside of everything. You read in the days of the prophet Malachi that there was people in that time that they say, what is a prophet to serve the Lord? What is a prophet of? And after that the Lord had comforted us, then there come ways in our life, people, that we are wavering, whether that it was really from the Lord. If you never in doubt of it, then you are in a dangerous condition, people. Then you are in a dangerous condition. Unless that the Lord had built you upon that firm foundation of the prophets and the apostle Jesus Christ. And then still, years ago, before that I came here, was in the West, a minister from England for some weeks to preach there. And that man, he said in one sermon one evening, I have heard that so many times in Grand Rapids, that he said the fundament of the church that lay in eternity and that is unmovable. But he said all that is built upon that foundation that is subjected to wavering and to doubt. And it happens. You read in the word of God about David in Psalm 30 that man, he declared there so clear, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. And again, congregation, again. It is not on the side of the Lord. Oh no, he is so lovely. He is so faithful. He is unchangeable. But on my side, I lay so many things between the Lord and my soul, by day and by night. Thousands of reasons that he said goodbye to me. That he said goodbye to me. God's people that have condemned to condemn themselves time and again. There are moments in their life and they say, Lord, how can you deal not with me? With a person as I am. Is that never in your heart, people? Is that now is never in your heart that you are wandering, that the Lord bid not farewell to you, that the Lord cut you not off, and that you will say, Lord, righteously, thou can cut me off forever and forever. But then, at the bottom of their heart, then it is abide with me. It is at the evening. Oh Lord, I have sinned away everything. But for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only, give me a token for good. Oh Lord, I have found out in my life. And there's the truth. Oh, that is the truth, people. I have found out that I never can come back. I found it out. But now that prayer that the Lord comes back and that the Lord will speak to my soul, peace and pardon. And after that he had done it, boys. Oh, after that he had done it. That there are moments in our life that soul said, oh Lord, say this again to me. Because your voice is so sweet to me. Your voice is so sweet. But still, with all the strife that I have in my heart, and with all the trials and with all the afflictions, Lord, even that the church this evening was full of devils, then I would say I have still faced something of the love of God and the love of Christ in my heart. And my only desire, I have pity in your face. As you read the match, you I have done it. But oh Lord, blessed Lord, kiss me, embrace me, and speak to my soul. Encourage my heart, comfort my heart, because that is the only thing that my soul is looking out for. But it is wonderful, people, that such a soul, he can never have enough of it. No. They can never have enough of it. And if I now receive at 10 o'clock in the evening, humanly speaking, then quarter after 10 it is done. And then 11 o'clock I need to stay to my life. So it goes. And then, oh, the Lord, he knows that. I would keep it. Oh, I would keep it. But I cannot keep it. No. It goes away. And I heard the tongue, so leave a man. Oh, they heard the tongue. He said, after an heavenly calm, and after an heavenly rest, an hellish storm is coming up. God's people knows that. They knows that for their own heart and for their own soul. But still they still buy that people an alabaster box of very precious oil and poured it out on his head as he sat at night. Yeah. God's people, and there's no one thing before that he closes evening. God's people, that desired no honor for himself. No. But that the Lord be honored. That the Lord be glorified. That all knees shall bow before him. And that not to merit something, no. But because the Lord is worthy, even what he will do with me, to cast me away or to take me up. But the Lord is worthy that I shall worship him, and that I shall praise his name as we sing together that now. In full assurance of thy grace, to thee my prayers and love. And now, congregation, only one question. That Mary that came there in the house of Simon the leper with an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. You see here the difference between Joseph Arimathea, Nicodemus, and Mary. When Christ died, then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were ready to bury Christ and to come with all kinds of spices to balm him. That was after he died. But Mary came with that alabaster box of very precious ointment when Christ was still alive. And what was now the reason? What was now the reason, people? Because that Mary that was privileged in her life to live through for their own soul the state of Christ's humiliation and the state of Christ's exaltation. Mary showed her faith in Christ Jesus as the Savior of the world, as the mediator of the church, who was on his way now to drink, to empty that cup that the Father had placed upon his hand. He was ready also for her to pay all for the sins and for the trespass. She left him. That Christ was now ready after a few moments to bruise the head of Satan, to break the power of the devil, and to deliver her and the whole church out of the under the power and dominion of sin. She embraced a perfect Savior and mediator. Accepted the full mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that with including herself for their own hearts and for their own soul. And as I told you this evening, we hope Monday, if the Lord not spared us, to talk further about that point. But that Mary, she had deeper insight in the mediatorial work of Christ as one of the other disciples. For them it was all in darkness. For them it was all a riddle. I think there is nog some in my midst here that would say this evening, "It is a riddle for me too. It is a riddle for me too." But if it is a riddle for your soul, people, one day, if it is true and upright, one day, then the Lord shall unriddle all the riddles of the soul. He takes it up for all his dear children and for all his people, and that to his honor and to his glory. And then there is only one desire, people. Not that we shall receive a crown upon our head, but that the crown shall be placed on the head of David's great son, and to give him all the honor and praise and glory. And there are moments in the life of that people that they become so tired of this life and of this world, that they say, "Oh Lord, I cannot live as I desire to. My soul is so bound to the dust. Oh, there is so many things in my life. But I am dragging through the world with myself. Not with pleasure, no. A burden, a burden." But if the work of the Lord is in our heart, people, great and small amongst us people, what the Lord has begun, he shall fulfill it till the day of Jesus Christ. And now a personal word. We hope to do that someday too, if the Lord spared us. This week, Tuesday, it was 28 years ago that we came in New York. 28 years ago. And the first evening in People's Park, and the second in Hillenhead, and the third we were again in Hillenhead, when Brother Burko preached there, the prayer service. And then on Friday evening we were in Passaic, in that old church. And there, that Friday evening, the Lord gave us some tokens of food. And the sea, there was no more sea. And I see still, when I was standing there on the pulpit, I still see Lagerveld now laying there, pale as a man that died. And that the Lord had used a few words that evening to the rejoicement of his heart, 20 years ago now. And if you don't think, congregation, that all those years the Lord had still uphold us, had still uphold us. And that he had still given strength and sometimes courage and liberty. Oh, then I must say, what shall I render the Lord for all his benefits? Shall no more be 28 years, no. It goes to the end with me too. I am realizing it. My life that lays almost behind me. That lays almost behind me, but last year once the Lord encouraged me so that when I shall die, that my eyes shall see him and no stranger. And I cannot come every day to that and in that, oh no, no. But still what the Lord speaks, that remains and that stays. And the Lord shall never take it away. I was standing on a deathbed some weeks ago, and that man, he said, my comfort that is that the Lord is unchangeable. And so he left his world. Unchangeable. And children of God, that is the only thing that is left, that the Lord is unchangeable, and that he shall perform what he had started till the day of Jesus Christ. Young and old, great and small, we hope to see one another now again, the Lord willing. And we hope that the word hath power, authority in our heart. And if we never have tasted, oh, then I hope that this time that we may taste, that we may realize the power of the word, but also the sweetness of that precious word of God. My unconverted fellow travelers, young and old, great and small, not tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, but today, when you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. Lord, bless the few words to our soul and to our hearts. Look upon the congregation without a minister. Oh, that it may please thee that they receive a man after thy own counsel here for the Eastern churches to bring the truth in all the spirit and teeth and with power from on high. Strengthen the consistories. Remember thy children. Extend thy kingdom from shore to shore. Bring us safely to our homes. And remember what we have left behind us with the pardoning of all our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. 187. With joy the meek shall see my soul restored. Your heart shall lift ye saints that seek the Lord. 87. The first stanza. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.